the book of 2 Kings, chapter 5. 2 Kings, chapter 5. We'll read the first three verses together. I'll read verse 1. You'll join me on verses 2 and 3. And then I'll read yet one other verse in the chapter. 2 Kings, chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies, and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And let's read verse 14 together. Ready? Hang on. I heard too many pages turning there. Verse 14, here we go. Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much again. Lord, it's just exciting and just good to be here, just because we know your presence is here. Now, Father, please, our preacher tonight is about to give us another portion about our health. Father, may we realize it's not just so we may have a few extra good years here, but we have more years to serve you. Father, these are your bodies. Our body is not ours. It was bought with a price. Now, Father, please, as our preacher instructs us, may we listen. May you change our lives so that we could last a little longer to help more people, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
This evening, I preach a second part of a sermon called Health Tips. If you were not here last week, I really do wish that you would get the sermon and that you would listen to it. I am going to use the same introduction, but I'm going to abbreviate it a little bit. I'll repeat the things that were said earlier, and I'll tell you again tonight some of the things I told you last week, and then I'll teach you some new things. This is a two-part sermon, and I promised my wife this. I told her, I said, honey, I've got so much I want to say tonight. I said, do you think they'll be bored if I do a third part? She said, no, as long as the second part's not too long. And so, to the young people, I want you to listen to me tonight. I really do. I know I'm going to be like a voice crying in the wilderness, but I want to talk to you about your health. Right now, you think you have the world by the tail, and you're not worried about your health, but it won't take long until it will begin to affect you. And the older people would say to the young people, listen to what Brother Owens is saying. We'd like for you to have good health as you grow older. Did you hear about the doctor? He said that to his patient, he said, hey, the check you gave me for my services came back. And the patient said, well, my arthritis came back, so I guess we're even. In this story that I just read to you, it's a story of a man by the name of Naaman. Naaman was a captain of the Syrian army. He was a powerful man, and he was a very well-known man, but Naaman was a leper. Now, leprosy was a disease that it basically, your flesh begins to deteriorate. They have a new disease that's here even in America some. It's a flesh-eating disease, and that's what leprosy was. It was very contagious. Once it would start, it would eat away at your skin. The small parts of your body, maybe an ear or a finger, would actually rot off, and they would wind their bodies up in claws and rags. There were sores that would form on the body, and they would ooze of pus, and it was a very contagious disease. Matter of fact, they even put them in leprosy colonies because there was no cure for it, and so they would all live in a certain place, and that way that disease could not spread. And that's the disease that Naaman had. Why he was not in a colony, I don't know. Maybe it was not very very far advanced, and maybe people didn't really know all about the fact that he had the disease, but he did. Well, in one process or another, Naaman ends up with a little lady that is a maid to Naaman's wife living in their home, and she knew about Naaman's leprosy. And she said this in 2 Kings 5:3. And she said unto her mistress, Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. What this gal says is she says, back where I come from, there's a man of God there, and if Naaman could get to that man of God, I believe that he could be healed of this disease. Well, someone told Naaman what had been said, and the king of Syria writes a letter back to the king of this gal's country and says, I'm sending Naaman to you to get him healed. Well, the king didn't realize that it was a discussion about the prophet. It was the prophet Elisha. He didn't realize it. He thought, boy, this other king is demanding of me that I get this captain Naaman healed. I don't know what I'm going to do. And so Elisha, the prophet, hears about it. And Elisha goes to his king and he says, King, I know exactly what they're talking about. I know exactly what they want. You go ahead and you send Naaman to me. And so Naaman, he travels and he goes to Elisha. And when he gets there, Elisha says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go down to the Jordan River and I want you to dunk yourself in the Jordan River 7 times. Well, this made Naaman a little bit mad. The Jordan River was not it wouldn't be considered a clean river. And he was upset. And he names a couple other rivers. He says, well, why not this one or why not that one? Why did you pick that dirty river? Well, one of Naaman's assistants were there and said, please, sir, why don't you just do what the man of God has said and let's see what happens. And the Bible says in 2 Kings 5:4, and one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus saith the maid, that this is of the land of Israel. He was saying, this is the one the maid was talking about. This is what you're supposed to do. And the Bible says, finally, he agrees to go and dunk himself in the Jordan River 7 times. And when he comes up the 7th time, the Bible says that his flesh became as the flesh of a child. It was very healthy. It was healed. And he was back to normal. Now, wonderful thing about that is, in this story, the man of God gives a certain amount of direction, and obedience is there, and somebody is healed. But I'm sorry, it doesn't always work exactly like that. We wish it did. We wish it did, but it doesn't. And so, I think God says to us, you have a body, now you take care of your body. It is in your body that the Holy Spirit dwells. The God of the universe is living inside you. People call this a sanctuary. I'm sorry, that is not correct. This is not the sanctuary. The sanctuary is your body. It is your body. God does not live in this building. God lives within the Christian. So we should take care of this vessel in which God lives. I'm to take care of my body because it's where God lives. I said this last week. I want to repeat it again this week. America is a sick nation. And I don't mean that she's got a bunch of wicked sin problems, though she does. I'm saying America is ill. America is not healthy. And I think God wants us to be as healthy as we can be. Now, God gave you your body, and you ought to take care of it. Now, let me repeat some of the things I said last week very quickly, and we'll get into some new territory. I said this, 1, sickness is not always an act of God's discipline. Some people get to saying that when somebody's sick, they have an illness or they have a disease, there's some that'll say, aha, God's getting her or God's getting him. Now, you have no right to say that. There's only one person that knows if it is discipline from God, and that is God. Now, you might be the sick one. You might not even know if it's discipline from God. Now, if you say to me, Brother Owens, I'm sick, and God has spoken to my heart, and I know it is because he is disappointed with something, now that's between you and God. But I would never make that determination, and I don't think you have the right to try to make that determination. You don't know why somebody else is sick, and it's not your place to go around saying, God's getting her, God's getting him. No, that's not up to us. You don't know when God's doing it. That's not our business. Let's let God be God, and let's just help sick people. 2, all healing comes from God. All healing comes from God. James 1:17 says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Listen, God may suddenly and miraculously heal someone. If he does, that came from God. But if he uses a doctor, the doctor's merely a tool of God. He may use medicine. He might use surgery. It may be a change in your lifestyle, but all healing comes from God. And don't you ever let some man take credit for healing. Not even some lost doctor. He does not deserve credit for the healing. He might have been a tool that God used, but the healing comes from God. Number three, sometimes God chooses not to provide healing. I won't go into it. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 12, verse 8 and 9. It's a story of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul had an illness. He went to God, and the Bible says he went to God three times and said, God, would you take this away from me? And he did. God didn't take it away, and the Apostle Paul said this, most gladly therefore what? Because I am going to remain with this illness. I'm going to continue to struggle. Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities. He said, if God wants this, if God's going to allow this, I'm going to glory in it, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He was saying, if I'm going to be sick, I'm still going to glorify God. It must have come for a reason, and I want to glorify God in that reason. It may be because God wants you to teach others how to suffer. There are some people that need to learn how to suffer. There are some people, the slightest thing goes wrong in their life, they turn on God. They're mad at God. They're bitter with God. They think it's unfair. Listen to me, folks. Anything short of hell is not unfair. Listen, we don't have to go to hell. We've got an awful lot going for us. Whatever happens other than going to hell, you ought to smile and say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, I'm not in hell. But sometimes we may not receive healing, and if we do not receive healing, then let's glorify God in it. Let's show people how to suffer. Let's show people God's still good whether you're sick or not, because the goodness of God is not based on your health. The goodness of God is based on His character, and the Bible says God is good, and that settles it. Number four, everybody suffers from some type of sickness. We're in the process of dying. That's what we'll do. We were born, and we started the process, and we are going through this process of dying. Number five, the Bible teaches the anointing with oil. It's very scriptural, found in James chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. What the Bible teaches is if somebody's sick, they go to the pastor anoints them with oil and asks God to heal them. You remember something, it is God that does the healing. I you've heard me before, I don't believe in this Benny Hinn garbage. I don't believe in that kind of junk, but I do believe the Bible. And I'm not going to let Benny Hinn and Oral Roberts and all them so-called faith healers steal from us a Bible doctrine and teaching. The Bible says go to the preacher and let the preacher pray for you and anoint you. That oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit. And so we believe that. We believe that very much so. Number six, don't place blame on loved ones when sickness comes. Oh, it's so easy that the kids are sick, so it's the wife's fault. Or the kids are sick, and it's the husband's fault. Or you're sick, and so it's your mom's fault or your dad's fault. Listen, folks, when people are not well, why cast blame? Why don't we just go ahead and help one another? Why don't we try to help regain our health? Number seven, generally speaking, little children and seniors get ill more quickly and more often than others. So that means little children, we need to watch their health a little more carefully. And those of you that are senior citizens, you need to be more careful with your health. And remember this, I told you this last week, those of you that have new babies, you need to bring that baby out in the world with the rest of us. You're going to have to do it sooner or later. I've watched many young couples have a baby and get backslidden because they stay home instead of come to church because they're afraid that baby is going to go down to the church and they're going to get around, what they're going to do is they're going to get around human beings like the rest of us. Now don't you become backslidden by not bringing your baby to church. Number eight. Financial problems are often the result of health problems, and we know that. You get sick, you can't go to work, and so you lose some money. You have doctor bills and hospital bills and medicine, and so now you be careful. Sometimes it's self-inflicted. If you don't treat your health right, you're going to cause yourself financial problems, and I don't want you to do that to yourself. But there are other times, there's nothing you could have done about it. Just suddenly you were sick. You weren't misbehaving health-wise, and suddenly you're sick. Well, let me tell you something. When it's not a self-inflicted illness, God's a little more apt to bail you out and take care of you financially, and so just be careful because it'll cause financial difficulties. Then I said this. I said head of households ought to consider health insurance when they go to changing jobs. Now, I believe I believe that you don't have to have health insurance where you work, but I know this. I think it ought to be a consideration. Sometimes we make bad moves. Somebody, you say, well, you were making $9 an hour, and you had health insurance, but some place up the road offered you $10 an hour without health insurance. That's not a good move, because it's going to cost you more than a dollar an hour for 40 hours a week. That's $40. Your health insurance is going to cost you more than $40 a week. So you calculate your health insurance into a job change, because there's so much money that could be saved. And if you say tonight, you say, I don't believe in insurance, I won't fight with you about it. I won't do that. But I'll tell you this. I prefer that I have health insurance and that you have health insurance if it's available, and that you do with it what you want. I'm just saying, those of you that believe in it need to be smart enough to calculate it into a job change so you're careful with it. Number 10, be careful running to the doctor in the emergency room for everything. Now, I'm not going to tell anybody when to go to the doctor. I'm not going to tell anybody when to go to the emergency room. I'm just telling you, so many times the baby can get a runny nose, and we have people that run to the doctor 10 and 12 times in a month. It's no wonder you're in a financial mess. Every once in a while, call an older mother and say, the baby's nose is running. And she'll say, wipe it. And again, I'm not telling you when and when not to. I'm just telling you, I watch in this society, people run to the doctor over and over. Now, there are some people, your health requires you to go to the doctor immediately. There are some of you, your immune system is very low. You have a very severe illness. And the doctor said to you, you come in the very moment you think you're contracting something. There are others, we just go to the doctor and go to the doctor and go to the doctor and go to the doctor. And they're going to name a wing at City Hospital after you someday and smile. All the time they're doing it while they're fleecing you and taking your money. But I'm not going to tell you when or when not to. I'm just telling you, some of you're at the doctor just continuously. Next, in the case of major medical decisions, it's usually wise to get a second opinion and sometimes a third opinion. I would recommend before you let them cut your gizzard out, you go see another gizzard specialist. I've heard of people, and I know this, that, you know, God put all the parts in there for a reason. And when we start cutting them out, I have met people, and I've experienced with people, they went in, they got it cut out, they sewed them up, put them back together, and they were as sick afterwards as they were before, and the doctor said, sorry, cut the wrong part out. Well, sorry's not real good in my book when you cut something of mine out. And they can't put it in the fridge and put it back in next week for you. Once it's gone, it's gone. So get a second opinion and a third opinion. And hey, sometimes ask this question. How sure are you about your diagnosis? How sure are you? That makes doctors squirm. Yes, sir. How sure are you? Number 12, keep yourself clean. Keep yourself clean. Wash your hands. Folks, here at the church, we get around, we get to shaking hands, and if you're not careful, someone just went, may come up and shake your hand. You thought that was sweat. It's not. A little too lubricated for sweat. So the next thing you know, you suck in your thumb, you're biting your fingernails, you're picking your eyes, and so you've just taken somebody else's nasal mucus and rubbed it right into your eyes. So you get, if you're not careful, you get sick that way. Wash your hands. Keep your teeth brushed. You wouldn't believe how much good that will do you. You don't, and that food gets in between your teeth, and it'll begin to rot in there. And it is a hotbed for bacteria. We sanitize our nurseries. I told you, we're trying to keep this place clean. Keep your house clean. It'll keep you healthier, I promise you. Now we get to some new material. Those are the things we talked about last week, and I taught on it in much detail. I wish you'd get the tape if you didn't hear it. I really want to help you. Next, drink lots of water. Drink lots of water. You say, fluids? I said, water. Moisture? No, water, water. See, you thought I said pop or soda or soft drinks or cola. They're all the same thing. No, water. Coffee? I said, you say, but Brother Owens, coffee's made of water. I know, but I'm recommending that you drink water. Tea, I'm recommending that you drink a lot of water. Just drink a lot of water. Your body is primarily made up of water. Water will help keep you healthy. Water will help heal you. Water will flush the impurities out of your body. Hey, I talked to a doctor one time, and he said, you know what I recommend to so many people that have headaches? That their body somehow is not getting enough fluid, and they have become dehydrated, and they need to drink water. You try it sometime. Next time you get a headache, just drink a bunch of water. Now, don't drink so much that your ache goes to your stomach because you're overloaded with water, but if you'll drink water, it is often a sign of dehydration, and your body needs water. But folks, you say, boy, that sounds like an old-fashioned remedy. Well, maybe we ought to get some old-fashioned remedies, because we're pumping ourselves so full of all these narcotics and all this stuff, some of you are just rotting yourself out from the inside. I say to you, drink a lot of water. Carry water around. Get you a water bottle. You say, what kind of water? I'm not going to go into all that. Just get you some water and make sure you're drinking water. I'll tell you this, just about any kind of water is better than all the pop and all the soda and everything that we drink all the time. So drink water. Then, next, eat right. Now, I could spend the whole night on this. I'm not going to. But I could. Listen, I don't want to turn our church into a bunch of bark eaters. I don't want to see our deacons out here chewing on trees or something for a snack. That's not my goal. That's not my goal. But I do think we need to learn to eat right. It would be good for us to learn to eat right. It would be best if you ate live food. You say live food? You know, am I supposed to chase it down and eat on it while it's trying to run from me? No, I mean this. Fresh vegetables, that's live food. Fresh fruit, that's live food. It's still alive. Canned vegetables has had the life cooked out of it. The more fresh vegetables and fresh fruit, the better off you are. I really could. I mean, I think I could for 3 or 4 hours talk to you about the right kinds of food. Jesus ate fish. I think that's a real good sign that fish can be good for you. Some of us just need to learn to eat less. It would help you. It would help you save on your clothing bills. It would help you feel better about yourself. And folks, so many people make the mistake of eating late at night. Just for your health's sake, I'm trying to tell you. You probably ought to close it down and not eat a whole bunch. And I mean, there's some that do it on a routine basis. Men will eat a whole meal at 9 or 10 o'clock at night. Let me tell you something. If you eat late at night, your body ends up digesting food all the way through the night. You'll wake up in the morning and you'll be very tired. I'll tell you more about that in a moment. In regard to meats, the Bible talks about meat, and there's nothing wrong with eating meat. That the Bible teaches the eating of meat. It is not against the Bible. But I'll tell you something, all the meat of today, it's got steroids, and it's got preservatives in it, and you take all of that into your body. You understand what the most common preservative is? It's embalming fluid. They embalm the meat to keep it edible. Y'all about ready to gag. I'm just telling you. That's what it is. That's what it is. We've got to learn to eat right. I have to read this to you. This is God versus the devil in regard to food. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and populated the earth with broccoli, cauliflower, spinach, green and yellow and red vegetables of all kinds so man and woman would live long and have healthy lives. Then, using God's great gifts, Satan created Ben and Jerry's ice cream, Krispy Kreme donuts. And Satan said, you want chocolate with that? And man said, yeah. And the woman said, give me a donut with sprinkles too. And they gained 10 pounds, and the stockholders were happy, and Satan smiled. And God created the healthy yogurt that woman might keep the figure that man found so fair. Satan brought forth white flour from wheat and sugar from the cane and combined them, and woman went from size 6 to size 14. So God said, try my fresh green salad. And Satan presented Thousand Island dressing, buttery croutons, and garlic toast on the side. And man and woman both unfastened their belts so they could breathe. God then said, I have sent you healthy vegetables and olive oil in which to cook your food. And Satan brought forth deep fried fish, chicken fried steak so big it needed its own platter. The steakhouse thrived, and man gained more weight, and his cholesterol went through the roof. God created light, fluffy white cake named Angel's Food Cake and said it is good. Then Satan created chocolate cake and named it Devil's Food. God then brought running shoes so children and men might lose the extra pounds. And Satan gave them cable TV with a remote control so man would not have to toil changing the channels. And man and woman laughed and cried before the flickering blue light and gained more pounds. Then God brought forth the potato, naturally low in fat and brimming with nutrition. And Satan peeled off the healthy skin, sliced the starchy center into potato chips, and deep fried them, and man gained more pounds. God then gave lean beef so that man might consume fewer calories and still satisfy his appetite. And Satan created McDonald's and its 99-cent double cheeseburger, then said, "You want fries with that?" And man replied, "Yeah," and supersized them. And Satan said, "It's good," and man went in to cardiac arrest. God sighed once again and created the quadruple bypass surgery. And as for the devil, he created HMOs. I can't tell y'all I want to tell you about eating right, but I'm going to tell y'all America is eating themselves into a coma. Some of you, if you backed off on the caffeine, you would see exactly what will happen. You will go into delirious tremors. I promise you. You drink so much caffeine, if you stopped it, you would have headaches and you would have tremors from the amount of caffeine you've pumped into your body. And the caffeine, it will make your veins thinner. That's how the caffeine works. It stretches the veins so the blood rushes through there quicker. That's what gives you the high. If I were you, I wouldn't be playing with your blood veins too much. That's what makes your heart work and function. But all I'm telling you is, and you say, "Brother Owens, you drink caffeine." I try not to drink a lot of it. Have you ever seen me on caffeine? I get wild. Ron Osterhels, he gave me a cup of coffee tonight. I did drink some, but I was careful, Ron. I did not want to get too wound up while I was preaching tonight. I'm not saying to give up coffee. I'm not saying to give up your food. Again, I'm not trying to turn you into a bark eater or a grass eater. I am trying to help you to be a little healthier. That's all. Be careful how you eat. Let me say this. Something else that would help you is if you buy generic prescriptions when you can. The finances become very heavy in regard to health problems. Now, in Jeremiah 30, verse 13, it mentions healing with medicines. And that is more so healing with natural medicines, but it does talk about medicine in the Bible. I'm never excited when they try to give me a prescription. I try to do everything under the sun not to use a man-made prescription, but I will use them. I do allow my family to use them. If you disagree with that, that's okay. I wouldn't argue it with you, but I'll tell you this. If I can, they actually sell generic prescriptions. In other words, they've got a brand name and they've got a generic of that. They both do the same thing, but one is cheaper than the other. Hey, I learned a valuable lesson. I used to work at a place called DESA in Park Forest, Illinois. They were a producer of chainsaws. And was I ever amazed? I worked there, and we would have a chainsaw come down the line as we assembled it and everything, and it'd be in a red casing. And then that red casing, we'd put a sticker on it that said Montgomery Ward. Then we'd have another chainsaw come down the line. They change the color of the casing. We put a different sticker on it, use the very same parts, very same oil, very same bar, very same chain, and we put a sticker on it that said Sears. Then there'd be another chainsaw come down the line, made at the very same factory. They changed the color of the casing. We had new stickers that we put on it, and they used the same chain and the same bar. We had a different printed manual, and this one was, J.C. Penney's. We had a Montgomery Ward, a Sears, and a J.C. Penney's, all created in the very same place by the very same people. We changed the color, changed the stickers, used the very same parts, and the chainsaws all cut the very same kind of wood. But they went everywhere, and some people say, "Well, I'll tell you what, I wouldn't have one of those Sears chainsaws." All you got to do is take the sticker off and change it, and you've got one, baby. And there are a lot of medicines that are just like that. And so, just for the sake of your savings, you may ask sometime, is there a generic available in this particular prescription? Remember, I'm not here promoting prescriptions. I'm here promoting good finances. Number next, don't trust hospital billings. Now, if you work at the hospital today, I'm not mad at you, and we need your tithe too, but don't trust hospital billings. Do you know if they send you a bill, it doesn't hurt for you to look through it? Make sure that you're not being charged for something that you should not be charged for. My wife and I saved, I think, almost $2,000 one time when one of our kids were in the hospital. We went through the thing, found out they had charged us for one whole day. We weren't even in the hospital. They were charging us, honey, do you remember how much for 1 gallon of water? $42 for a gallon of water. Now, I can buy it cheaper than that. Now listen, you look through that thing. It doesn't even hurt that you start logging some things as you use it in the hospital. I'm trying to keep you from going bankrupt because the medical world, they're making money hand over fist, and we're paying it because we just trust them. I don't trust just anybody with my health, nor do I trust anybody with my finances. Learn, hey, and if you find a mistake, you just take it to them. You talk, be kind, be a good Christian about it. And let me tell you how crazy this is. And those of you that are a little older, you'll understand this. Those of you who don't understand it, don't worry about it. Don't go ask a question about it. But we have a man in our church that recently pointed out to me that he had gone for a physical, and when he got all of his paperwork back, the bill was outrageously high, and they had charged him for a pap smear. Now, those of you that understand that, you understand this. There's a problem there. Now, if that can happen, I can guarantee you they can charge you for some things that you did not use. And it is not uncommon. It's very common that they will overcharge you. Let me go on. I said drink lots of water, eat right, buy generic prescriptions, don't trust hospital billings. And next, learn to fast. F-A-S-T. Matthew 4, verse number 2, says that Jesus Christ fasted. And we say, what does that mean? That is when you give up food, and actually, medically or health-wise, it will give your body a break. But you give up food. Let me compare your body to a motor or an engine. You know, if an engine was turned on and ran 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks out of the year, 365 days a year, and then 365 days a year it ran for 80 years, I'm going to guess it'd get wore down, wouldn't it? I guess it'd have a chance of seizing up or getting too hot or something, you know, blowing a valve or something. Absolutely. Why is it we think we can run our bodies constantly? We constantly have the energy, the gas flowing in our bodies. One of the reasons God wanted us to fast was for the good of your body. You stop eating food and give your digestive system a little break, a little rest. So fasting is giving up food. You could do it for a medical reason or for your health, but wait, God said you give up the food and then you spend the time you would have spent eating with me. You pray. You read your Bible. And so that's some of you, it would help you to find a time to get closer to God. Give up a little food. Give up lunch and spend time with God. And it's good for your body. Once again, how in the world can we expect our bodies to, we're pumping fuel through them all the time, just constantly pumping fuel through them. That's one of the reasons why I'm going to talk about sleep in a little while. Those of you, when you eat late at night, your body must digest food all night long and it never gets a break. It needs that break. Fast. There are other things you can fast from. You can fast from pleasures in life. And when you stop doing them for a certain amount of time, you give that time to God. Now, you can start slow. You could fast one meal. Young people, you could do that. You could say, I'm going to give up lunch. I'm going to spend some time with God. And you find another table over at the lunchroom at a Christian school and get your Bible out and you pray for needs in your life. Maybe you could start with one meal. And then maybe another day, try fasting 2 out of 3 meals. And then eventually you could get to fasting 3 meals in one day. Maybe after you've tried it one day in a week, maybe another time try 2 days. It would be very good for some of your health if you could learn to give up, and it'd be good for some of your character. Some of you, food controls you. You live to eat when you're supposed to eat to live. There are people in this room, you probably don't have the character to give up food for a whole day. You say, I just can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. You could do it if you wanted to do it, and it'd be very good for you. I know this. I know the longest span of time I have fasted is 2 weeks. I have a friend, Dr. Dennis Coral. He fasts for 1 month out of every year. 30 days he goes without food as he walks with God. I've always been amazed at that. I go 2 weeks. I don't want to be that close to God. I've got to have food after 2 weeks. Let me go on. Exercise. 1 Timothy 4:8 says, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things." The Bible says here that too many people make too big of a deal out of their body and exercise, but it does say it profits us, and we need to learn to exercise. Now, the reason why exercise is not promoted as much in the Bible as you might think is because people used to work hard. You didn't have to go exercise. You didn't have to say, "Oh, I'll take 2 hours out of the day and exercise." People used to work for 12 hours a day and sweat and toil and work hard. So when you got home at night, you didn't say, "You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to use my muscles for a little while." No, you were dead tired from working hard. But we have a lazy generation. They want more pay and less work. So now we pay people to help us exercise today. That's why exercise is not promoted more in the Bible. It wasn't necessary. Some of you need to learn to sweat. Sweat. Or, ladies, glisten. Need to glisten. Exercise according to your health ability. I think sports can be very good for us helping to keep our body healthy. And I'm not talking about running from the couch to the fridge and back. You say, "I need strength, Brother Owens," and try Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. "The joy of the Lord is your strength." There are some of you, the strength that you need is to make your God happy. To make your God happy. Genesis 26, verse number 8. I'll tell you something else, you married people. The Bible says in Genesis 26, 8 that Isaac sported with his wife Rebekah. And that's good and healthy too. Let's go on. Next. I'm not going to talk about it. We're moving on. I recommend that you take some vitamins. You study them for yourself. You want to come to me, I really don't want to tell you what all vitamins to take, but I think vitamins would help you, and I'm going to tell you why. With all the canned foods and all the life cooked out of our foods and all the junk that they put in our foods today, we don't receive all the nutrients our body needs to stay healthy because of all the prefab foods we have. And so the vitamins become supplement to the foods that you eat. I take multiple vitamins. Now, I won't take them all the time. It's just like exercising. I don't think you ought to lift weights 7 days a week. I think you have a day or two on and a day or two off, so your body rebuilds itself. I think that's anybody that knows about weight training would tell you that. Same with vitamins. I don't take vitamins. I don't take a big old handful of vitamins 365 days a year. There are days that I don't take vitamins. That gives my body a little break. I take a multiple vitamin every day. I take a lot of vitamin C, natural vitamin C with rose hips. They have a vitamin C called ester C that is a time-released vitamin C. I don't want to go into it all. Again, I told you, I'm not here. We're not all going to become Yul Gibbons fans. Y'all, any of you remember Yul Gibbons? Raise your hand. Everybody with their hand up is probably over 40 years old. Now, vitamins will supplement your diet. Number next, get some fresh air. Fresh air. That means go outside. What? There's no TV! You don't want to get so far away from the fridge you can't hear the pump kicking off and on. Honestly, I told you this, I think, last week, but you know, God sure has blessed us here because we have fluctuation in temperature, and when the temperature drops, it kills germs and bacteria. And a little fresh air would do some of you good. Some of your houses are so hot, they're breeding grounds for bacteria. You just keep it so hot in there. And I'm not telling you what temperature to keep your home, I'm just telling you what I have learned. It wouldn't hurt us to dress right, by the way. That will help you. That will help you to be healthier. Musicians, keep yourself healthy so you can sing in church. Keep yourself warm. Teenagers, you say, your mom and dad say to you, "Put a coat on." You say, "That's not cool." "No, it's warm. That's why we told you to put the coat on." You know, we want to be macho. I'm not going to tell you who, but I know one of our men is sick all the time. Seen him the other day. It was 10 degrees. He had a short sleeve shirt on, walking around out here in the parking lot. You're a dumb bunny. You're a dumb bunny. If you have hair on your chest, just draw us a picture of it, but you don't have to walk around out in the cold to tell us about it. We don't have to see it. You're a tough guy. But you end up sick. You're going to miss church. That ought to be important to you. But get some fresh air. Number next, don't eat or drink after others. Don't eat or drink after others. You're going to catch illness. You're going to spread illness. All of you kids in the school, because you're buddies, you down a Coke together. You're going to go down together is what you're going to do. Boy, this thing of grabbing somebody else's sandwich and taking a bite, say that's romantic. Figure out other ways. I could teach you some things that are funner than that. But grabbing someone else's drink and gulping their drink, young people, all you children, you listen, Brother Owens, don't drink after one another. You're going to spread the disease. Some of you have a lot of kids. This is how it all spreads in your home. One gets sick, then another gets sick, then another gets sick, then another gets sick, then another gets sick, then you start all over again. So be careful. Be careful to teach your kids not to eat after people or drink after people. And let's all do one another a favor. When you cough, if you could cover your mouth, that would help us all. You know, when somebody right beside you, they look at you and go, when we have to carry a towel to absorb your coughing extracts, it's hard on us. So cover your mouth. Maybe at home you need to mark names on the cup so people don't grab somebody else's cup where they get sick. You hear about the guy who was so full of penicillin, every time he'd cough, he'd heal 12 people sitting in front of him. Cover your mouth. And it's best, if you're going to sneeze, catch it in your hand at least. But, I could never figure out why my dad carried a handkerchief everywhere. Part of it was because my dad was trying to be polite, and when he would go to sneeze or cough, he would catch it so other people didn't get his germs. Number next, sleep right. Sleep right. You need to sleep enough, but not too much. Proverbs 3, verse 19 through 20, I'm not going to go into it, but the Bible says there is a way for you to go to sleep at night and have no fear. That's because you live right. And then it says you can have sweet sleep. Sweet sleep. You're not going to sleep as well if you drink a bunch before you go to bed. You're not going to sleep as well if you eat before you go to bed. You're not going to sleep as well if you fall asleep in front of the television every night. You're just not. You're not going to sleep well if you have a guilty conscience. I'll tell you something, folks. Guilt from sin will wear your health out. It'll wear your health out. Proverbs 19, verse number 15, the Bible says, slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep. You can sleep too much. You ever have one of those days where you say, you know what I'm going to do? You have what we call a rack attack. I'm going to sleep all day. When I sleep, and I don't remember when I've done this last. Maybe 30 years ago, but I can remember days that I slept so much that once I woke up, I was tired from sleeping. Too much sleep has a reverse effect according to the Bible. It says slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep. It is saying if you sleep too much, it will actually rob you of the energy that you needed in regard to sleep. A doctor says you need 8 hours. No, everybody needs a different amount of time. There might be somebody in here that needs 10 hours sleep. I do well on about 5. I know a man named Dr. Daryl Moore. I think the man slept about 3.5 hours a night, and he was very healthy and very strong man. So don't you let them convince you it has to be 8 or it has to be 10. What you need to do is experiment and figure out how many hours sleep give you the rest that you need and the strength that you need, and then sleep that much. Get up when it's time to get up, or stay in bed and sleep. Number next, stop your bad habits. Stop your bad habits. Smoking will kill you. Smoking will kill you. It's not fair to the people around you because you're going to make them unhealthy. It's going to hurt you, and you will die young from smoking. Now, this isn't Brother Owens trying to become your enemy. I'm coming to you on behalf of your health. Smoking's going to kill you. Say, well, I smoke filters. Well, get a filter on your straw and just suck up what's left in the ashtray. We'll just filter out the parts that can't get through. I'm telling you, some of you are going to die from a black lung, and you're going to cause your children that problem as well. Booze is bad. It'll ruin you. It'll destroy you. You'll end up with liver cancer. You'll ruin yourself. The drugs that you buy out on the street. Come on, folks. It's terrible for your health. They wouldn't be selling them undercover or on the black market, if you will, if they were good for you. The misuse of prescription drugs. Because today, adults don't have to go out and buy it from some long-haired hippie with 15 earrings. They just go down to the doctor and say, I'm sick. And then they get all sorts of medicine, and then they mistake it and misuse it. It is as sinful for you to misuse prescription drugs as it is for some long-haired hippie to misuse drugs that they bought on the street corner. It's wrong. It's drug abuse. There's probably somebody in our church, you're an addict. But it's prescription drugs, and you think it's okay. You're not to misuse those drugs. Hey, I say stop your bad habits. Stop your bad habits. Immorality will cause you disease. It will cause you disease. You can end up with syphilis and gonorrhea and AIDS. Not only that, people that commit immorality, they don't sleep right. They end up sick, and they make their spouse sick because of all the pressure, of all the nonsense that's going on. Immorality will ruin your health. If I could, I could have some people come up and testify and say, I'll tell you what, it just about ruined me. I can't bring somebody up here to tell you that, but it will. You can't sleep at night. You can't live with yourself. Immorality. Listen to this, young people. Disobedience to parents will shorten your life. Every young man, every young lady, the Bible says in Exodus 20, verse 12, that we should honor our father and mother, that our days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. What it's saying is, when you disobey your mom and dad, you are going to shorten your life. Your lifespan will be shortened. It's just like a disease. Disobedience to mom and dad shortens lifespan. Stop the bad habits. You know what the world's greatest beauty aid is? Purity. Purity. There is nothing more beautiful than purity. Every girl, every lady here, let me tell you what will make you beautiful. Purity. Honesty. Virginity. Virginity is beautiful. That is, you know why we have to paint ourselves up so much today? The average woman has lost her ability to blush. You gotta paint on blush because we no longer blush. And I'm not against, hey, look, if the barn needs painted, give her a coat, baby. But I'm saying, we are looking for every beauty aid. Women who are distraught, not right with God, they live wickedly, they're trying to figure out every way in the world to regain a beauty. They know why they have lost it. They don't feel good about themselves anymore because of the life that they have lived. And young people, you listen to Brother Owens. Stay beautiful. Stay pure. Stay clean. And there's a beauty and a shine that comes from that very thing. Well, I don't like it. I've got about 10 more points. But Mrs. Owens, I'm doing what you told me. I'm shutting her down early. I'm drawing a line right across that one. This thing of submitting to your wife is very difficult. I want you to have good health. Please don't leave me on this. I really believe that next Sunday night I want to teach you a third week on the topic of health. I've not even gotten into a bunch of the scriptural. Some things that are left. I'll teach you the best weight loss plan in the world. I'll teach you how to pray about your health. I'll teach you that worry will destroy you. I'll teach you that gossip will, you know, did you know that a lack of faith will hurt the marrow in your bones? I want to teach you that a gossip, you know what the Bible says? Pleasant words are in honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Gossips destroy their own health. But we'll have to do it next week. And so, if you're here tonight and you're not born again, let me tell you what you ought to do. You ought to let the doctor, the great physician, Jesus Christ, save your soul so you can go to heaven someday. And I tell you, you could take all the vitamins and eat right and do everything right and be the healthiest specimen on the face of the earth. And if you're not born again, you'll die and go to hell and that body will burn forever. The Bible teaches that everyone's a sinner, that there's a price on sin, that Jesus Christ paid that penalty with His death, His burial, and His resurrection. If you'd merely turn to Him and say, I know I'm a sinner, forgive me of that sin, come into my heart and be my Savior, you could be born again. It is more important that you are spiritually healthy than that you are physically healthy, though I want us to have both. If you're not born again tonight, why don't you get saved? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. This service is just about to be concluded.